Well, the baby, that changed everything. And folks, I want to tell you, he did, didn't he? But the wonderful thing, yeah, and I hope for each and every one of us here, that he changed our lives personally. You know, Jesus didn't just come to save the world, even though he did. He came to save me. And you know that you will never experience and know the love of God until you know it personally. And thank God for that. I don't know about you, Christmas means a lot of things to me. I enjoy, all the gifts, and I enjoy, Brother Jim said, the eating, I like that, and the lights, and, all that. And sometimes we get so caught up with all that that we forget why we're here today and why that we celebrate this time. And it's not about the gifts and the food and the family. And even though that's part, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? Because he is the one that changes everything. And I want to encourage you today, if you're here, that you have never been changed by the power and the love and the grace of God. At the end of this service, that you'll have an opportunity to come and to know the Savior that I know. Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. You have heard probably several Christmas messages. And sometimes as a preacher, we begin to think, all right, what else can we say? And I know your pastor, and thank God for him, amen. And I know he's a man of the Word of God. And so I've just been praying and asking the Lord, what can I say to you here today? And so I would pray that what I have to say, that it's of the Lord, and that you will receive it from the Lord, and that we will obey what God has to say to each and every one of us here today. Now, if you're in Luke chapter 2, I'm going to ask you to do something for me, that if you would you stand with me as we give reverence to the Word of God? Thank God we have a Bible. Amen. Thank God that we know the mind of God, because God reveals it to us through his Word. Well, in Luke chapter 2, I will begin in verse 8. It says, "And now there were in the same country shepherds living in the fields, keeping flock over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said unto them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good news and good tidings with great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God." And Father, I pray in these moments that you would speak to our hearts. May the words in our Bibles jump off its pages into our hearts. For I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, this morning I just want to preach to you for a few moments about Christmas time. What is Christmas all about? And I remember years ago there was a sign that was out and many churches used it. And it simply said, "Jesus is the reason for the season." And thank God for that. Well, this morning, if you'll look with me, there's two or three things I want you to see. First of all, as we think about Christmas and this time of the year, I want to remind you that Christmas is a time of good tidings. Christmas is a time of good tidings. Look with me once again in verse 10 where it says, the angel says, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Now, the word tidings just means good news. And we understand that when the Bible refers to the gospel is good news. In fact, that's what it literally means. And so the angel says to these shepherds, he says to them, I have good news for you today. I have good news for you today. And as we begin to think about that good news, we ask ourselves, what is that good news? What is this good news of great joy? Well, we find in verse 11, it says, there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, I want to focus in just for a few moments on verse 11. And there are three statements, or three descriptions of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll see that he is referred to as the Savior. He is referred to as the Christ and the Lord. Now, what does that mean to you and I? What does the Bible mean when we talk about that Jesus is the Savior? Well, first of all, I want you to see what the word Savior means. The word Savior is a word that simply refers to Jesus. And the name of Jesus simply means Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God, or Jehovah's salvation. So these angels come and they announce to the shepherds that God has come, and he has come in the person of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is Jehovah God, who is our Savior. So when we think about Jesus and that he is our Savior, we begin to think about the word saved. What does it mean to be saved? I could ask different people in this congregation today, and I would ask you, what do you think when you hear the word saved? And there will be all kind of answers, but what we need is a good biblical answer, because that's what Jesus came to do. He came to save us from our sins. And so the word saved just simply means to be kept safe and sound, or it means to be rescued from danger and destruction. It means to be delivered. And so simply that the angels are announcing to the shepherds that Jesus, God's salvation, Jehovah's salvation, has come to save you and has come to save all people. And so simply as we think about being saved, what does it mean to be saved? Many of us have the idea that salvation, or to be saved, is one day to die and to go to heaven. And that is part. And thank God for that. Amen. Aren't you glad to know that the moment that you close your eyes in this life, we that are believers, that we will be transported in the twinkling of an eye, that we'll be with the Lord. The Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Folks, I want to tell you, if you're saved today, our future is glorious, isn't it? You and I, we don't have to despair. Regardless of what troubles we're in today, regardless of what the world does, regardless of how things turn out in our lives, that we have a great future ahead of us. But thank God that it's more than just waiting to die, because God has come to save us from our sins. And aren't you glad of that? In fact, the Bible, once again, when it speaks about Jesus being our Savior and that he has come to save us from our sins, that this act of salvation, this saving grace that we have experienced, it is in the process of us becoming like Jesus. We will one day be totally, and I use it in this way carefully, will be fully saved. Now, what I mean by that we have experienced salvation, but we have not experienced the whole of salvation yet, even though it is ours right now in its fullness. The Bible simply means that right now that you and I, at some time, we that are saved here, that we have been saved from the penalty of sin. And aren't you glad of that? That when the Bible speaks about that you and I, that we're sinners, that a holy God has to judge our sins, and every one of us are condemned because we're guilty before a holy God. And you and I, in our own good works, can never appease a holy God. We can never be good enough. You and I can never merit salvation by our works, regardless of what our works are. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you're saved through faith. And it's not of works, it is the free gift of God." And aren't you glad of that? Just say amen with me here today that, listen, that you and I, that the reason that you and I have been saved because we are unable to save ourselves. And folks, I will tell you one thing I've learned as being in the ministry for many years, that you and I will struggle and try to save ourselves. And when we come to the end of ourselves and realize that our only hope is God, then we're ready to be saved. But thank God that you and I, that we can think back that there was a time in our lives that we gave our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. And the moment I received Christ into my heart, that I was saved. I was delivered from sin. So God delivered me from the penalty of sin. He has delivered you from the penalty of sin. Here's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, there's now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." Aren't you glad of that? That, listen, there was a time that you were under the condemnation of God, that you were under the judgment of God, you and I were, but God in His mercy sent Jesus Christ into this world as a babe. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in that manger, and that wasn't the end of the story, that He began to grow, it says, in grace and in knowledge of even God the Father, and He grew to be a man. And that man went to the cross for you and I, and there He shed His precious blood for you and I, that he there said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And there that He hung upon that cross, and there He gave His life willingly for you and I, so that you and I could have eternal life. They took Him from that cross, put Him in a borrowed tomb, and then on the third day He rose from the grave, and because of His resurrection, that you and I can experience eternal life. Amen. Now here's the added bonus. Not only did He rise from the dead, but 40 days later He ascended into heaven and has promised that one day He will come back for you and I. And everybody just say amen to that. That's a great truth, isn't it? I don't know about you, I'm waiting for the Lord to return. Amen. In fact, somebody asked me recently, said, what are you doing in life? I said, I'm just waiting. And they said, waiting for what? I said, for the Lord to return. Now, of course, this guy I work with, you know, I work with a bunch of lost guys, and he looked at me like, what in the world? And God gave me the opportunity to share the gospel with him. And he knows now that he needs to be saved. But here's what I want to say to you. Salvation simply means that you and I, because we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that you and I have been saved from the penalty of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to us. Now, folks, I want to tell you, there are times that Satan will condemn you, and that you will condemn yourself, and people will condemn you. But I want to tell you, there is one that we stand before, the King of glory, the God of all gods, the Lord of all lords. Listen, and He no longer condemns us. because we're in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. But listen, so God has saved us from the penalty of sin, but God is also doing a work in our lives today that God, the Lord Jesus, because of His saving power, we are now, He is at work in our lives, and He is saving us from the power of sin. I wish I could say I was perfect today, but I'm not. But God is in the process of making me and you as believers just like Jesus Christ. We are predestined to be like Jesus Christ. So God is in this process. So He is delivering us from the power of sin. How sin used to have a hold upon our lives, that you and I could not help but to serve sin. We were in bondage to sin, according to Romans chapter 6. But when we got saved, that God began to break the power of sin in our lives. Aren't you glad that today that you no longer have to serve sin? Listen, before I got saved when I was 19 years old. And I've been saved now for about 45 years. I mean, I'm an old man today. But all those years, listen, before I got saved, I don't like to talk about the past, but I want to tell you, I did a lot of wicked things and that I'm not proud of and don't like to talk about them. But you know, all that time that I was in bondage to sin, that boy, I just thought I was free. You know, I did all those things because I was just free. But it was not until I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ that I realized how much in bondage I was. And folks, I want to tell you, thank God that, listen, when God saves us, He saves us from the penalty of sin, but thank God that now He is breaking the power of sin in our lives. A lot of those old things that I used to do, I have no desire to do them anymore. And listen, I am not the same old guy I used to be. Every year, I kind of look back on my life and I try to see where God has brought me from and what God has delivered me from. And you know, thank God that He's true to His word, that He is delivering me from those sins, from habits and things of nature, of that nature that does not please Him. Aren't you glad of that? God didn't save us and leave us in the mess we are. God has saved us and from the penalty of sin, but He is also saving us from the power of sin in our lives. Thank God that we can say, thank God I am free at last. Amen. That God is setting us free day by day, day by day. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this one thing, that He who has begun a good work in us, He will continue that until the day of Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad of that? And everybody just say amen to that. I am so, thank God, as Martin Luther said, he said, free at last, free at last. And when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're here today and you have never experienced salvation, let me tell you that you're not free. You're in bondage to sin. You're in bondage to Satan. And you will never experience freedom in your life until you come to Jesus Christ. And when you experience Jesus and the saving power of His life and blood, that you will be able to say, free at last, free at last. One other thing about salvation before we move on. That salvation is not only that God is saving us from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin. But folks, I want to tell you, one day He's going to save us from the presence of sin. That, listen, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that all of creation, and even within our own selves, that we groan for a release. A release from what? From the corruption of sin. From the corruption that is in this world. From the fallen nature. That one day that God when he returns, he will right all wrongs and he will bring us and make a new heaven and new earth, and that you and I, once again, that we will no longer be bothered by sin. No longer will there be the presence of sin any place. And that day is coming. That's why the book of Revelation is such a great book, because it's not of all the tribulation for the saints, because we will miss that. But at the end, the Bible says that God will create a new heaven and a new earth, and we will dwell upon that. And there will be no sin. Now, that's hard for us to comprehend, because we're so accustomed to sin and the effects of sin. You know why there's sickness in the world today? Because of sin. Do you know why there's hatred in the world today? Because of sin. Do you know why there is all that we see going on that's bad and terrible in the world? It's all back to this one thing of sin. But one day, we will live in a new place where there is no sin. I can't even comprehend that, but that's what God says. Aren't you glad of that? So first of all, I want you to see here, just simply as we look at this one verse here, that we find that Jesus, that He is the Savior. But look with me once again at verse 11. It says, there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ. Now, Jesus is not only the Savior, but He is the Christ. Now, what does the word the Christ mean? What does it mean when we say Jesus Christ? Well, the word Christ simply means He is the Anointed One. The idea of the word carries the idea of the Anointed High Priest. Now, up to this time, you remember of the Old Testament that they had a high priest that would go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and he would bring in the blood of the animals, sacrifices, and there at the mercy seat, that he would sprinkle that blood upon that mercy seat there, that the Bible says in the book of Hebrews in chapters 9 and 10, that blood, all it did of those goats and those calves and all, it covered our sins. It never took our sins away. And the priest of the Old Testament, that after so many years they would die off. But the Bible says now there is the Christ, the Anointed One, the High Priest, that He took His blood. He took His blood, went into the very presence of God. I think that's what He was doing those 3 days that He was in the tomb. His body was laying there, His soul and spirit with the very blood. He took His blood into the presence of God, of the Holy of Holies of heaven. And there He sprinkled it upon the mercy throne of God. And there God accepted that. And it says that Jesus, that when that He came back to earth, picked up His body, 40 days later ascended into heaven. Now, what's He doing in heaven? It says that He is our great high priest, that He makes intercession for us always. And so now that what we have is a priest, a great high priest that never dies, because He is eternal, that He is in heaven, and that He is making intercession for you and I right now, today, that He is pleading our case. He is standing in our behalf before God the Father, so that you and I can have access into the very presence of God. Listen to this verse in Hebrews chapter 4. It says in verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Thank God, listen, that God understands us. Jesus understands us. He understands our failings. He understands our weaknesses. but was in all points tempted as we are, yet he without sin. Now listen to this. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Listen, it's not a throne of judgment, but a throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Thank God. Listen, the Christ, Jesus the Christ, is our high priest. He is in heaven today. And when I fail, when there's weakness in my life, when there's shortcomings in my life, when I sin, I can go into the very presence of God. The scripture says boldly. I can go. Why? Because of the great high priest. And I can say, God, I've sinned. God, I need your help. And it says that God, we will find mercy and grace in that hour. Why? Because of us. No, because of the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That ever makes intercession for you and I. Now, here's one final thing I want you to see this morning as we focus on verse 11. It says simply that he is our Savior. He is our Christ, our high priest, and he is our Lord. Now, the word Lord just simply means sovereign one. The idea is simply this. The Bible is saying to you and I that are believers that he is a sovereign one, that he is in absolute control. Folks, I want to tell you, I don't know what's going on in America or in this world. I mean, it's rocking and reeling, and it seems like it is falling apart, which it is. And I tell you, things are going to get worse and not better, because as we move towards the end times, a preacher friend of mine, he simply says this, it's getting gloriously dark, and I believe that. But let me tell you, regardless of what the foundations of this world does, what society does, thank God we got one that is in control of all this. I might be totally out of control, but Jesus is in absolute control. Whatever's going in your life, going on in your life today, and you feel out of control, listen, it's okay. Because the one that you love, the one that saved you, he is in absolute control of everything. And everybody say amen to that, and I'm glad of that. Let me give you one of my favorite verses in the Bible. In the Old Testament, in Psalms 115, verse 3, it says, but our God is in heaven. Thank God for that. He is ruling and reigning, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. And what that simply means, folks, there is no one that controls him. He controls everything. And aren't you glad of that? Now, folks, I know you've seen the Christmas story and we've talked about it. But I just want to remind you that the one that came as a babe, as he laid in that manger in swaddling clothes on that Christmas night, that was very God. Jesus, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, that he veiled himself. He veiled his godhood. And he became a man. And he became a man for one purpose. Not to do good works, but to save us from our sins. Now, as you read about the shepherds, when they received the news, it said this. After they had seen the Christ child, that they went and told others. So here's what I want to say to you. If you're here today, and many of you I don't know, if you're here today, if you're a visitor, or maybe you just came into the service for the first time. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I have told you, and I will say to you again, that there's a God in heaven that loves you. that He loves you so much that He gave His only Son to take your place, to pay your penalty, to die for you, to shed His blood for you, that you could have eternal life. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, puts their trust, their faith in Him, should not perish, should not die and go to hell, but should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's what God offers you. And I'm going to ask you in a few moments, if you've never been saved and God has spoken to you today, and you want this Jesus, you want to be saved. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand with everyone else. And when we begin the invitation, I'm going to ask you to just step out of your pew. And that'll be the toughest step you'll ever make. But God, you take the first step, God will take a step with you. And you just step out and come and say, "Preacher, I just want Jesus. I want Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I want to have a new life. I want to be set free." And I'll pray with you and show you, and we'll pray together, and Jesus will save you. The Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So God offers salvation. And then we that are believers here, this is a time of rejoicing and a time that we celebrate His birth. But remember, His birth had a purpose. And we need to be like the shepherds. We need to go and tell. We're commissioned, it says, go into all the world and preach or proclaim the gospel to every creature. You and I as believers, we have the great privilege of going and telling. So why don't we, as we come to the end of the year, just recommit ourselves to be like those shepherds and go and tell.